Virus test, cases rising. I'm Barbara Cusack. Health officials warn this 4th of July weekend will be a crucial test of American self-control amid the coronavirus pandemic. President Trump is set to hold his Salute for America celebration with fireworks and a flyover that's expected to draw a huge crowd to the National Mall today. Last night, Trump kicked off his holiday at Mount Rushmore.
The crowd, with few wearing masks, heard President Trump defend what he calls our heritage and culture, with a vow to defend monuments like the grand one behind him from ever being destroyed or abandoned.
The American people are strong and proud, and they will not allow our country and all of its values, history, and culture to be taken from them.
Promising to make sure future generations know they live in a land of legends, Mr. Trump said he'll sign an executive order creating a National Garden of American Heroes with statues of great Americans. Bob Costantini, Washington.
And correspondent Jason Carroll reports, for a third day in a row, 50,000-plus coronavirus cases were reported in the U.S., with numbers rising in 36 states.
Florida now leads the nation in the average number of new reported COVID-19 cases per day. The state announced 9,488 new cases Friday. The state's youngest victim, an 11-year-old boy from Miami-Dade County, who died from COVID-19 complications. Health officials seeing record hospitalizations in California, where singing and chanting in that state is now banned at houses of worship.
Shooting broke out at a mall in a suburban Birmingham, Alabama yesterday, claiming the life of an 8-year-old child, 4 other people injured. And a deadly incident on the road this holiday weekend left 5 dead, 3 others seriously injured after a highway crash in Charlotte, North Carolina. I'm Barbara Cusack.
Ad sponsored by Open Jar Concepts. Attention, this is an important message for anyone that has been diagnosed with cancer after being exposed to Roundup or other weed killers. The Internal Agency for Research on Cancer warned that overexposure to Roundup and other weed killers may increase the risk of developing non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. Monsanto, the manufacturer of Roundup, may have known that Roundup and other weed killers were likely linked to organ damage and cancer. This information was hidden from the public as proprietary trade secret since 1981, and Monsanto may have failed to warn of the potential risk of cancer. If you or a loved one has been diagnosed with cancer after being exposed to Roundup or other weed killers, you may be entitled to significant compensation. Call us now at 800-462-2033. Our network of attorneys are ready to fight for you. You'll pay nothing unless there's a recovery in your favor. Call now for a free consultation at 800-462-2033. You must protect your legal rights. Call 800-462-2033. Again, 800-462-2033.
Washington Redskins team owner Dan Snyder says a thorough review of the team's name is underway, and correspondent Carolyn Mano says the plan has the backing of the NFL.
NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell quickly added his support to the team's announcement also, saying in a statement, "In the last few weeks, we have had ongoing discussions with Dan, and we are supportive of this important step."
The Cleveland Indians plan to review their long-debated name to embrace the, quote, responsibility to advance social justice and equality. Correspondent Steve Kastenbaum says despite the coronavirus pandemic, Nathan's 4th of July hot dog eating contest will go on with restrictions.
It'll be at an undisclosed location with competitors separated by plexiglass and no in-person audience. 12-time champ Joey Chestnut said that'll be unusual.
Even my practices, I have somebody yelling at me.
There will be a TV audience with the contest broadcast on ESPN.
I'm Barbara Cusack.
If your idea of a big, bold summer is hanging out around the backyard barbecue, I've got a snack that will fit right in. Southern Recipe Small Batch Pork Rinds. Yep, it's a bold-flavored snack that's more craveable than potato chips and the perfect low-carb alternative to breadcrumbs in your favorite recipe. You gotta try the Korean Kimchi Barbecue, Spicy Dill, Pasilla Chili Cheese, and Blackberry Habanero Pork Rinds. This summer, start your own flavor adventure by downloading our coupon and finding new recipes at porkrinds.com. That's porkrinds.com.
In uncertain times, you can be certain of this. The Salvation Army is serving those most in need with help and hope. Thanks to your donations, the Salvation Army is helping those affected by COVID-19, those who've lost wages, who have no home to retreat to, who need food, help with utilities, and most of all, hope. To see how you can continue to make a difference, visit givewestwood.org, givewestwood.org.
I'm Justin Ho for the Marketplace Minute. The economy is changing so fast, it's hard to keep up.
Another COVID vaccine trial
moves
forward.
Weekly unemployment figures out today show that 1.5 million
is missing $2 billion that it said it had, but now can't.
Give us just a minute of your time, and we'll bring you the latest on what's happening in the economy, three times a day. We'll tell you what you need to know and why it matters, all in 60 seconds. Just ask your smart speaker to play the Marketplace Minute, or find it wherever you get your podcasts.
If your idea of a big, bold summer is hanging out around the backyard barbecue, I've got a snack that will fit right in. Southern Recipe Small Batch Pork Rinds. Yep, it's a bold-flavored snack that's more craveable than potato chips and the perfect low-carb alternative to breadcrumbs in your favorite recipe. You gotta try the Korean kimchi barbecue, spicy dill, pasilla chili cheese, and blackberry habanero pork rinds. This summer, start your own flavor adventure by downloading our coupon and finding new recipes at porkrinds.com. That's porkrinds.com.
In uncertain times, you can be certain of this. The Salvation Army is serving those most in need with help and hope. Thanks to your donations, the Salvation Army is helping those affected by COVID-19, those who've lost wages, who have no home to retreat to, who need food, help with utilities, and most of all, hope. To see how you can continue to make a difference, visit givewestwood.org, givewestwood.org.
Come summer in Old Bay and enjoy breathtaking views of blue skies, grass overtaken by weeds, and your neighbor taking the trash out shirtless. Sip an Old Bay Bloody Mary as you relax in a lawn chair overlooking the kiddie pool and the trampoline. And savor Old Bay steamed shrimp as you take in the calm, tranquil sound of your husband going to town with the weed whacker. Old Bay, you don't just like it.
If you have avoided going to the dentist, especially due to fear or safety concerns, McMillan Sedation Dentistry understands and is open and ready to help. We continue to meet and strive to exceed the CDC's infection control standards. At McMillan Sedation Dentistry, you're in the safest, most hygienic environment, whether for emergency or elective treatments. We offer total solution dentistry, from comprehensive to cosmetic, along with implant treatments all in one office with gentle sedation options. The McMillan Sedation team is like a family who provides a safe, comfortable home where most procedures can be completed in as little as one anxiety-free visit. Our staff will work with you to tailor a treatment plan to fit your schedule and financial considerations. If you're scared or concerned, we are here for you. Call 703-503-9490. Learn more and see our Smile Gallery at SmileEasy.com. That's SmileEasy.com.
A little flexibility can go a long way. By refinancing your newer used auto loan with PenFed, you can lower your monthly payments for more flexibility in your budget. You can even schedule your first payment for up to 60 days from the date of your refinance. Calculate how much you could save at PenFed.org/auto-refi or call 1-800-247-5626 to apply. Membership is open to everyone. To receive any advertised product, you must become a member of PenFed, insured by NCUA.
Now, the Saturday Morning Update. 105.9 FM, WMAL.
Good morning. It is the Saturday Morning Update as we continue to social distance, and we are at a distance from WMAL this morning, coming to you by phone for the time being until we knock out a couple of technical difficulties. But it is the 4th of July, a happy 4th of July and Independence Day weekend to you. Hope that you've got some great plans for the weekend. We're going to run down what's happening in the nation's capital for you. Big fireworks display tonight, the U.S. Army Golden Knight Parachute Team, the U.S. Air Force Thunderbirds, and the Blue Angels will do flyovers over Washington, and also to be joined by historic aircraft. And we'll get into the schedule a little bit later on in the program this morning. The president was out at Mount Rushmore last night, a speech that we're going to play quite a bit of it for you, because if you watch CNN or if you read the headlines in the Washington Post, they spin it a certain way. We'll play segments of the speech. That way you get the full story. So we'll get into that this morning. Unfortunately, we have something along with us this 4th of July holiday we didn't have last year, and that's the COVID-19 issue. And we'll be talking with Dr. Bob Lahida this morning, a very, very interesting guy, a very interesting conversation coming up on how to stay safe. And also, you heard about this new mutation in the coronavirus, and we'll be talking with Dr. Lahida about that this morning. John Gizzi will join us. He's, of course, the White House correspondent, chief political columnist at Newsmax.com, and we're going to talk with John about the Biden-Trump polling, where they are in the race. There were a couple of interesting primaries this week that we'll get into as well. And Vladimir Putin is now president, apparently for life, at least until he's 82, based on an outcome of a vote in Russia this week. And we'll talk with John Gizzi about that this morning. KT McFarland will join us, and of course she'll have an interesting perspective on what happens when there are intelligence reports. Do they rise to the level of the president? You heard all about this with the supposed bounty payments that Russia was supposedly making to the Taliban to get U.S. soldiers, and we'll talk to KT about that entire process. We'll also get Lieutenant Colonel Tony Schaefer's perspective on it from the intelligence gathering process. We'll talk with Tony about that. So we'll also get into some of the legal stories that are out there. Jim Trusty from IFRA Law, he'll join us this morning as well. Ghislaine Maxwell, of course, Jeffrey Epstein's girlfriend, apprehended this week. What does that mean for the investigation? What does that mean for other people that may be involved in that case? We'll talk with Jim about that this morning. And the president taking a hard line on the U.S. statues and monuments and 10-year sentences for some of these vandals. We'll talk to Jim about the legislation that the president is pointing to for those severe sentences and some of the techniques that are used in the prosecution. So a very interesting show lined up for you this morning. We're going to take a quick break. We'll check traffic and weather, and then we'll join Jennifer Harper from the Washington Times.
Businesses are starting to bounce back. But what if you could do better than that? What if you could adapt, deliver, and succeed in new ways with new customers? At Comcast Business, we want to help you not just bounce back, but bounce forward. And now, with one of our best offers ever, we're committed to helping you do just that. Get a powerful and reliable internet and voice solution for only $29.95 a month for 3 months with a 2-year agreement. It'll help you stay ahead with a network you can count on, stay connected with 24/7 support, and thrive with flexible solutions that work wherever you are. Call 1-800-501-6000 or go online today to find out more. Comcast Business. Offer ends 7/5/2020. Restrictions apply. Limited to new Comcast Business 100 megabits internet and one voice mobility line customers. Early termination fee applies. Equipment, installation taxes, and fees extra. Subject to change.
Come summer in Old Bay and enjoy breathtaking views of blue skies, grass overtaken by weeds, and your neighbor taking the trash out shirtless. Sip an Old Bay Bloody Mary as you relax in a lawn chair overlooking the kiddie pool and the trampoline. And savor Old Bay steamed shrimp as you take in the calm, tranquil sound of your husband going to town with the weed whacker. Old Bay, you don't just like it.
6:13, it's the Saturday morning update on WMAL. Michelle Murray's in the WMAL Traffic Center.
In Maryland and Riverdale, keep in mind that all lanes of the southbound Baltimore-Washington Parkway remain closed between 410 and 450 with an investigation due to an earlier vehicle fire. All traffic being diverted at 410 at this time. Northbound lanes not affected. Also, keep in mind many closures today due to the 4th of July celebrations downtown. Keep in mind that the northbound main lanes of the 14th Street Bridge will be diverted to eastbound 395, and the HOV lanes of the 14th Street Bridge will also be diverted to eastbound 395. Now from GarageDoorRepair.com, the WMAL Stormwatch 7 forecast.
Mostly sunny skies on this 4th of July. It will be on the hot side, highs in the lower 90s. Have the chance for a couple of isolated storms between 2 and 7 o'clock this evening, but drying out by the time the fireworks go at 9:07. Tonight, mostly clear, lows in the 70s. For your Sunday, partly cloudy, still hot, highs in the lower 90s. The chance for some isolated afternoon storms. I'm ABC7 meteorologist Alex Liggett in the Stormwatch 7 Weather Center.
and a happy 4th of July. Happy Independence Day, the Saturday Morning Update. And we're joined by Jennifer Harper. She writes inside the Beltway at the Washington Times. Good morning and a happy 4th to you.
Boy, good morning. Happy 4th of July, everybody. Yay!
All right. Well, it is the 4th. That means there is a celebration in the nation's capital, and we haven't heard too much about it in advance. Kind of last minute we get the details, but fill us in on what will happen in Washington for the national celebration.
Well, I'll tell you what, Rick, it's just it's kind of very uplifting here. I did get a notice from the Department of Defense about what their involvement is in some of this. Of course, we're going to have, you know, the fireworks and everybody's barbecues and all that other stuff. But there came a message from Defense Secretary Mark T. Esper himself about the serious wow factor that we have going on with the 2020 Salute to America in honor of July 4th. And boy, this comes at a great moment, doesn't it? Something that simple and straightforward. Anyway, the efforts for their end of it at the Department of Defense involves 1,700 service members. How about that? And this includes the celebration is including a flyover of Mount Rushmore, but they are going to have a flyover to honor all the great cities of the American Revolution. Wow, I like this. Boston, New York City, Philadelphia, Baltimore, and the nation's capital where we are. And we get a particular nice thing because there'll be some vintage aircraft involved along with all the high flyers there. And according to DOD, they say the flyovers provide an opportunity for DOD to demonstrate the capabilities and professionalism of the United States Armed Forces. And here's an interesting thought you might not have thought of. He says the flying hours are a sunk cost for the Department of Defense, and these aircraft and crews would be using these hours for proficiency and training at other locations if they were not conducting these flyovers. I thought that was an interesting a twist to that. But anyway, good time will be had by all later on today.
You know, John Bolton certainly got a lot of attention recently, and I don't think he's coming back. But there is talk of another former Trump advisor who might come back.
Well, yes, there is talk of this. I have no idea about the veracity of that talk, but there's talk that Steve Bannon may come back or wants to come back, or we just don't know. But as a reminder, he was the chief White House campaign strategist for the White House, and he left his role in that capacity about 3 years ago. And now we've got some analysts who are wondering if Steve Bannon could possibly revisit his old advisory role for President Trump, because they certainly ran a snappy campaign back in the day. And actually, Mr. Bannon had an interview this week where he offered a little insight on Mr. Trump's campaign strategy, as he would see it. And his advice was for the president to act like a president. And here's a quote from his interview. He's the president of the United States. He's not a candidate. You act like the president of the United States. You take action like the president of the United States. You govern like you are president of the United States. And you are going to be reelected. That's pretty straightforward advice there. But this has been noticed by a couple of journalists out there, including Rob Crilly. He's the White House correspondent of the Washington Examiner. And he wrote that Mr. Bannon has raised the alarm this week over a faltering campaign and speaking out publicly and privately for an end to a rally-based strategy. Made a lot of people wonder, Mr. Bannon has spoken up. What does this all mean? And also, this issue has got the eye of Stephen Cruiser. He is a columnist for PJ Media, pretty good one at that. He says President Trump's moribund reelection campaign could use a bit of a jump start here in the dog days of summer, and I know just the guy to do it, Stephen K. Bannon. Again, this is coming from Stephen Cruiser. He says, full disclosure, it wasn't my idea, but he thought it was a good one. He says, it's not that I'm in a dead panic about Trump's chances. It's still early from an election year perspective. And as I've written more than once, I'm rather skeptical of the polls. I just feel that the campaign at present is oozing ennui. A subject I'm going to explore more in another column. The Bannon touch could inject a little life into it all. And again, I think oozing ennui. Anyway, his final comment on that is bring Bannon back. So we shall see what we shall see, Rick.
Well, a lot of people are talking about the polls and wondering if he'll get reelected and trying to pull historical perspectives. You have one from 1948 you wrote about this week, and I think it is worthy of discussion.
Oh, yes, indeedy. Let's talk about President Harry Truman. He was a Democrat that went through the very same thing that Trump is going through right now way back in June of 1948. I mean, he had a lot of media after him and so forth and so on. And there was a very, very good piece written by Richard Lem. He is the host of the podcast This American President. He wrote it for the Washington Examiner, and this is what he said, very straightforward. The similarities between the 1948 and 2020 elections are striking. Like President Trump, Truman often ruffled feathers with his salty language. At one point, Truman even described Republican candidate Thomas Dewey as a fascist, a term not taken lightly just 3 years after World War II. And just as with Trump, the media described Truman as desperate and unhinged. Almost everyone thought Truman would lose, including the president's mother-in-law. A Newsweek poll reported that 50 out of 50 politicos were predicting a Dewey victory. Again, this is coming from Richard Lem. Very insightful story he wrote there. But he says the 1948 election warns us that an upset is very possible. There are two dynamics at work, he says. And he says the first is that Trump simply has political staying power. And the second is that he is aggressive against the competition. Yes, we all know that by now. And he said, like Trump, Truman was seen as a fighter who was not afraid to go against the political establishment. And like Biden, Dewey was an uninspiring candidate who, because of his overconfidence, played it safe and limited his public appearances. It is possible that in a dangerous and unpredictable world, voters will prefer a feisty and aggressive Trump over a lackluster Biden. Coming again from Richard Lem.
The economy will have a lot to do with it. There was some good news this week with the jobs report and unemployment. What about other pocketbook news for Americans?
Yes, let's talk about some positive pocketbook news. Everybody can deal with that. And yes, we had some good and promising numbers that said that it's just not so bad out there, and we're hoping that all the good news is not gone forever. And here's a little bit of good news. This is coming from a Monmouth University poll. And I cited it this week because it gives some perspective about what Americans are really thinking about. And, you know, given that we've got a lot of hostile news media that's going to pile up evidence that Trump's economy is gone or it's failing or whatnot, it goes on and on. And yes, of course, we've had setbacks, but you know, the stock market is inching back up, and there's some confidence out there among financial analysts and advisors, but along comes this promising evidence that Americans themselves, Rick, are kind of feeling a little better about their pocketbooks. And just make it very simple, a new Monmouth University poll finds that 78% of U.S. voters now describe their personal financial situation as either stable or improving. And this is a very new poll, so that's what's out there.
There's a rush around the country to look at names on college campuses or street signs or public buildings that could be offensive to some members of the population. And you've got a story on a Virginia college.
Yes, I do. And we'll talk very briefly here about Emory and Henry College out there in the beautiful Commonwealth of Virginia. And it has announced to its students that the school must reconsider its mascot, and the mascot is a wasp. Okay, well, the bug, they are afraid, may appear, quote, exclusive to students who are not white Anglo-Saxon Protestants, or wasps.
Come on.
Anyway, the college itself already has some concerns about its own historical namesakes. John Emory was a Methodist Episcopal Church bishop back in the day, and Patrick Henry was a founding father, and so the school mascot has also come under scrutiny. They've got a lot on their plate right now. We don't want to be hard on them. But according to the college, conversations must examine how Emory and Henry's past have contributed to current and oncoming systemic oppression, they say. Discussions should be renewed regarding the college's mascot, the wasp, and the impact of this mascot on inclusion and diversity on our campus. And this all came, this research came, I must say, from an analyst with Young America's Foundation. They happened to get a hold of the message to the students. So that's what's going on at a more nearby college.
Well, let's leave it on a more positive note. Lee Greenwood has something new.
Yes, indeed. If you're looking for something really uplifting and appropriate today, Lee Greenwood, very a long-time country singer and kind of a heartfelt Americana guy, he joined forces with the United States Air Force Band, the Singing Sergeants, and also Home Free. This is a very good a cappella group. They have put out a new version of Proud to Be an American. That was Mr. Greenwood's big hit back in the day. Combined forces with these three very powerful musical forces, and they've done a remake, which is really, really nice and really good. If you want to see it, feel better about everything, it's on YouTube. You can check under the group Home Free or the United States Air Force or Mr. Greenwood himself. Just Google Proud to Be an American, and it'll come up because a lot of people have listen to this, about 500,000 just in a day. So good work for all of our U.S. Air Force, Acapello, and Mr. Greenwood.
Jennifer Harper inside the Beltway at the Washington Times, and a happy Independence Day. Thank you.
Thank you, everybody. Have a good weekend. Good day, too.
6:26, it's the Saturday Morning Update on WMAL.
This July 4th, join us for a special 40th anniversary presentation of A Capital Fourth with your hosts, John Stamos and Vanessa Williams, and performances from coast to coast featuring Patti LaBelle, John Fogerty, The Temptations, Andy Grammer, Yolanda Adams, Renee Fleming, Trace Atkins, Brian Stokes Mitchell, Chrissy Metz, Mandy Gonzalez. It's the 40th anniversary of A Capital Fourth. Saturday, July 4th, 8, 7 Central, only on PBS. Sponsored by the Boeing Company and American Airlines.
You're listening to the Saturday Morning Update on WMAL. Aside from the COVID-19 problems, it's pretty much business as usual for the 4th of July holiday celebration. President Trump will make a speech from the South Lawn of the White House. It will be streamed online and shown on the news networks. At 6:30, the U.S. Army Golden Knight Parachute Team, the U.S. Air Force Thunderbirds, and the U.S. Navy Blue Angels will be doing a flyover. It is scheduled over the National Mall and the D.C. area from around 6:45 p.m. to 8 p.m. That flyover will include historic aircraft such as the P-51 Mustang and the B-29 Bomber. The fireworks display is set for 9:07 tonight, and depending on where you are, if you're within line of sight, the planners say that you can watch it from D.C. and Northern Virginia for up to a 3-mile visibility range. Two companies will be setting off more than 10,000 fireworks. It's a 35-minute show. It's one of the biggest in recent history. The blast-off zone goes from the Inlet Bridge south of West Potomac Park all the way north to the Lincoln Memorial, also on the grounds of the Washington Monument. The Secretary of Interior is David Bernhardt. He said in a news release it would be, quote, an incredible fireworks display, and it will follow what promises to be the largest in recent memory. Now, there are a number of cancellations in the suburbs, so if your local fireworks display or your local parade has been canceled, you may want to check out things on the National Mall. Now, if you do go to the mall, you can access from three security locations: Constitution Avenue at 20th Street Northwest, Constitution Avenue between 23rd and Henry Bacon Drive Northwest, and then 17th Street Northwest between Constitution Avenue and Independence Avenue, and that's right near the World War II Memorial. So three locations to get in. The access points will be open from 1 p.m. to 9 p.m. There are no capacity limits announced. 800 acres of space, so there should be plenty of room for social distancing. More than 300,000 cloth face coverings will be handed out for free to people who go on to the mall. It is recommended, though, that you bring your own mask as a precaution against coronavirus. The CDC recommending anyone over 2 years old should wear a face covering, and they do suggest you stay 6 feet away from others. And if you have a temperature or you feel sick, they suggest that you stay home. Mayor Bowser has asked D.C. residents to steer clear of the fireworks and instead celebrate close to home. She issued guidelines on Tuesday on how to more safely host or attend a party. So that's a look at what's going on in Washington. We're going to check the news next, and then we're going to play some of the sound from the president's speech last night at Mount Rushmore. I've seen Associated Press reports this morning, CNN reports this morning, the Washington Post reports this morning that spin it in a very negative light. And when you hear some of the sound, it will put it in a full perspective for you. So stay with us on the Saturday Morning Update.
When it comes to using data, everyone is different. Which is why Xfinity Mobile created a different kind of wireless network. One that's designed to save you money by letting you design your own data, giving you more choice and control compared to other top wireless carriers. Now, you can choose unlimited, shared data, or mixed lines of each and switch any line, anytime. No one else lets you do that, or automatically connects you to millions of secure Wi-Fi hotspots and the best LTE everywhere else. So no matter where you are, we've got you covered. All while saving up to $400 a year on your wireless bill. Xfinity Mobile. It's wireless reimagined. Call, visit a store, or go to XfinityMobile.com today. Simple. Easy. Awesome. Restrictions apply. Not available in all areas. Requires residential postpay Xfinity Internet. Actual savings vary and are not guaranteed. For Xfinity Mobile broadband disclosures, visit www.xfinity.com/mobile.
In the news, the United States heading into the 4th of July holiday weekend with many parades and fireworks displays canceled around the country. Beaches and bars are closed. Health authorities warning that this will be a crucial test of Americans' self-control. They say this could determine the trajectory of the surging coronavirus outbreak. Confirmed cases climbing in 40 states. Governors ordering the wearing of masks in public. Families are being urged to celebrate their independence at home. Even then, if you do stay home, they're suggesting you keep your backyard barbecue very small if you do. The California governor, Gavin Newsom, is warning local elected officials that they risk losing state funding if they don't enforce health orders as the coronavirus pandemic worsens in that state. Newsom rolling back limited business reopenings in Los Angeles and 20 other counties. It now includes San Diego for the rollback. They had recently reopened bars, indoor restaurant dining, and other indoor entertainment, but those venues ordered closed in those counties for at least the next 3 weeks. President Trump speaking last night at Mount Rushmore, followed by a fireworks celebration. We'll present some of the audio to you very shortly. But in that speech, the president announced that he will establish a National Garden of American Heroes. He describes it as a vast outdoor park that will feature the statues of the greatest Americans who ever lived. Trump made that announcement as he opened the 4th of July weekend with that speech at the iconic Mount Rushmore. The executive order was released yesterday by the White House. It says the garden will feature statues of several presidents as well as other historic notables, including Davy Crockett, Amelia Earhart, Billy Graham, Harriet Tubman, and the Wright brothers. More details to come on that. North Korea is reiterating it has no immediate plans to resume nuclear negotiations with the U.S. unless Washington discards what it describes as hostile policies. The statement by the North Korean first foreign minister Cho Son-hui came days after President Trump's former national security advisor John Bolton told reporters that Trump might seek another summit with the North Korean leader Kim Jong-un as an October surprise ahead of the U.S. presidential election. Kim and Trump have met three times since embarking on their high-stakes nuclear diplomacy in 2018. Negotiations have faltered since the second summit in February last year in Vietnam. 6:35, it's the Saturday Morning Update on WMAL. Michelle Murray's in the WMAL Traffic Center.
In Maryland, keep in mind that in Riverdale, the southbound lanes of the Baltimore-Washington Parkway remain closed between 410 and 450. Due to an accident investigation, traffic is being diverted at 410, so follow police direction around that area. No problems to report on the Capitol Beltway this morning throughout Maryland and Virginia. Do keep in mind many closures in downtown today due to the 4th of July celebrations. That includes Main Avenue at the freeway. Now from GarageDoorRepair.com, the WMAL Stormwatch 7 forecast.
Plenty of sunshine on this 4th of July. We will have a touch more humidity with dew points up in the upper 60s. So you'll notice that today. I have the possibility for some isolated storms with that added moisture as well between around 2 and 7 o'clock. Highs today in the lower 90s as we head later on tonight. Mostly clear, lows in the 70s. Partly cloudy on your Sunday. Isolated storms, high temperatures in the lower 90s. I'm ABC 7 meteorologist Alex Leah in the Stormwatch 7 Weather Center.
75 degrees at 6:36 WMAL.
Ad sponsored by Open Jar Concepts. Attention, this is an important message for anyone that has been diagnosed with cancer after being exposed to Roundup or other weed killers. The Internal Agency for Research on Cancer warned that overexposure to Roundup and other weed killers may increase the risk of developing non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. Monsanto, the manufacturer of Roundup, may have known that Roundup and other weed killers were likely linked to organ damage and cancer. This information was hidden from the public as proprietary trade secret since 1981, and Monsanto may have failed to warn of the potential risk of cancer. If you or a loved one has been diagnosed with cancer after being exposed to Roundup or other weed killers, you may be entitled to significant compensation. Call us now at 800-462-2033. Our network of attorneys are ready to fight for you. You'll pay nothing unless there's a recovery in your favor. Call now for a free consultation at 800-462-2033. You must protect your legal rights. Call 800-462-2033. Again, 800-462-2033.
Select Auto Imports would like to express our deep gratitude to our hero first responders and healthcare workers who are working hard to defeat COVID-19. Select Auto Imports would like to welcome you to the future of car buying from the comfort of your own home. Visit our express store and handle all aspects of your purchase online at selectautoimports.com and we'll deliver your new car to your home. Selectautoimports.com for the best selection of certified pre-owned luxury vehicles.
Saturday Morning Update, WMAL. President Trump speaking at Mount Rushmore last night. And we've got some sound bites that I think you will find of interest. And he opened the speech with a commitment to preservation.
I am here as your president to proclaim before the country and before the world, this monument will never be desecrated. These heroes will never be defaced. Their legacy will never, ever be destroyed. Their achievements will never be forgotten. And Mount Rushmore will stand forever as an eternal tribute to our forefathers and to our freedom.
Of the pursuit of justice.
Our founders launched not only a revolution in government, but a revolution in the pursuit of justice, equality, liberty, and prosperity. No nation has done more to advance the human condition than the United States of America. And no people have done more to promote human progress than the citizens of our great nation.
And the president spoke of the threat he sees that we are facing.
As we meet here tonight, there is a growing danger that threatens every blessing our ancestors fought so hard for, struggled, they bled to secure. Our nation is witnessing a merciless campaign to wipe out our history, defame our heroes, erase our values, and indoctrinate our children.
Justice.
angry mobs are trying to tear down statues of our founders, deface our most sacred memorials, and unleash a wave of violent crime in our cities. Many of these people have no idea why they are doing this, but some know exactly what they are doing. They think the American people are weak and soft and submissive. But no, the American people are strong and proud, and they will not allow our country and all of its values, history, and culture to be taken from them.
And the president addressed the cancel culture.
One of their political weapons is cancel culture, driving people from their jobs, shaming dissenters, and demanding total submission from anyone who disagrees. This is the very definition of totalitarianism, and it is completely alien to our culture and to our values, and it has absolutely no place in the United States of America.
And the president also spoke of fascism on the left.
In our schools, our newsrooms, even our corporate boardrooms, there is a new far-left fascism that demands absolute allegiance. If you do not speak its language, perform its rituals, recite its mantras, and follow its commandments, then you will be censored, banished, blacklisted, persecuted, and punished. It's not going to happen to us. Make no mistake, this left-wing cultural revolution is designed to overthrow the American Revolution. In so doing, they would destroy the very civilization that rescued billions from poverty, disease, violence, and hunger, and that lifted humanity to new heights of achievement, discovery, and progress.
Now, that's the first part of the speech, and the AP called it fiery, other media outlets calling it divisive, and really panned by, the mainstream media outlets. What they didn't really report, though, was what followed. Here's President Trump addressing the issue of slavery.
They would tear down the principles that propelled the abolition of slavery, and ultimately around the world, ending an evil institution that had plagued humanity for thousands and thousands of years. Our opponents would tear apart the very documents that Martin Luther King used to express his dream and the ideas that were the foundation of the righteous movement for civil rights. They would tear down the beliefs, culture, and identity that have made America the most vibrant and tolerant society in the history of the earth. My fellow Americans, it is time to speak up loudly and strongly and powerfully and defend the integrity of our country.
The president also spoke more of Dr. King.
We must demand that our children are taught once again to see America as did Reverend Martin Luther King when he said that the founders had signed a promissory note to every future generation. Dr. King saw that the mission of justice required us to fully embrace our founding ideals. Those ideals are so important to us. The founding ideals. He called on his fellow citizens not to rip down their heritage, but to live up to their heritage.
And the president went on to list a number of American heroes.
We are the country of Andrew Jackson, Ulysses S. Grant, and Frederick Douglass. We are the land of Wild Bill Hickok and Buffalo Bill Cody. We are the nation that gave rise to the Wright brothers, the Tuskegee Airmen, Harriet Tubman, Clara Barton, Jesse Owens, George Patton, General George Patton, the great Louis Armstrong, Alan Shepard, Elvis Presley, and Muhammad Ali. And only America could have produced them all. No other place.
And the president went on to announce the National Garden of Heroes.
I am announcing the creation of a new monument to the giants of our past. I am signing an executive order to establish the National Guard of American Heroes, a vast outdoor park that will feature the statues of the greatest Americans to ever live.
So that's a sampling of the president's speech last night at Mount Rushmore. And as you see the media descriptions, at least you heard both sides of the story. 6:46, Saturday morning update on WMAL. Time for check of the traffic and weather. Michelle Murray's in the WMAL Traffic Center. Then we're back with Jim Trusty.
In Virginia, watch out for an accident now in Newington on 95 southbound at the Fairfax County Parkway. Just after that, right side of the roadway blocked with that accident activity. Now, also keep in mind, in Maryland, in Riverdale, southbound BW Parkway remains closed between 410 and 450 with an accident investigation. Traffic being diverted at 410. Just follow police direction around that. Also keep in mind, many closures in the district today due to the 4th of July celebrations, including the inbound Roosevelt Bridge heading to Constitution Avenue. All traffic will be diverted to the northbound South Potomac River Freeway. Now from GarageRepair.com, the WMAL Stormwatch 7 forecast.
Plenty of sunshine on this 4th of July. We will have a touch more humidity with dew points up in the upper 60s. So you'll notice that today. I have the possibility for some isolated storms with that added moisture as well between around 2 and 7 o'clock. Highs today in the lower 90s as we head later on tonight. Mostly clear, lows in the 70s. Partly cloudy on your Sunday. Isolated storms, high temperatures in the lower 90s. I'm ABC 7 meteorologist Alex Liggett in the Stormwatch 7 Weather Center.
73 degrees in the nation's capital, 6:47 on the Saturday morning update.
Washington's Mall, WMAL, where Washington comes to talk.
It is the Saturday morning update on WMAL. I'm Rick Fowler. It is Independence Day weekend, a happy 4th of July, and it's great to be joined by Jim Trusty. And we always like to get Jim's perspective on some of the stories that are very important from a legal standpoint. And Jim was the chief of the organized crime and gang section at the U.S. Department of Justice, and he is now focusing on private practice here in Washington with IFRA Law. Jim, as always, thank you for being with us.
Good morning, Rick. Happy birthday, America.
And I want to talk to you about the statues, the issues, the Veterans Memorial Preservation Act. There have been threats of vandalism at Mount Rushmore. Of course, President Trump speaking last night at Mount Rushmore. We've heard stories this week about some pretty significant penalties that some of the vandals could be facing. There have been arrests. Tell us a little bit about the act and what it may mean for some of the vandalism that we've seen.
Well, sure. So the Veterans Memorial Preservation Act basically says if you do anything to damage or destroy a monument that honors a veteran for their service in the U.S. military, can face up to 10 years in prison. And that's the one that President Trump mentioned in his executive order a little while ago. But there's also just a basic destruction of government property statute. If it's federal property, and these statutes usually are, then there's another potential 10-year charge. So there's plenty of weight being brought to bear on these people, including, in some instances, arson. You know, if they're lighting fires at the same time and trying to do things to destroy the statutes with fire, that's going to be another type of federal charge that really puts some pressure on these guys.
All right. Now, we hear a lot about RICO cases. Explain what that means, especially as it relates to the cases that will come up with these people charged with the vandalism of the statues, tearing down the statues, and arson, as you mentioned.
Well, sure. So, you know, RICO is basically a very government-friendly charge. I lived it and breathed it for about 6 or 7 years as the supervisor of organized crime and gangs. And basically, it takes a string of what they call predicate offenses and ties them together. And the idea when RICO was founded back in the late 60s, early 70s, was to go after the leadership, to go after groups like the mafia, and use it in an aggressive way so you're not just replacing the bottom feeders of the organization each time. Well, what's happened over the years is it's been expanded. I was using it a lot against MS-13, for instance. It's been used in white-collar spaces, so it's become a very successful and frequently used tool for federal prosecutors. Here, the way you have to look at it is every time there's vandalizing going on at these statues, every time there's a celebratory Instagram post, every time somebody buys acid or chisels or straps to tear down a statue, that's a predicate act or a potential part, I should say, of a RICO case. And so you take all of these things and you try to build the case up from the ground. You try to get people to flip. You try to have inside information. And you go after the people that are actually financing these mobs, the people that go in from different cities to create mayhem and violence and destruction. And you build a very comprehensive case. And so I actually think under Barr, this tool is being looked at very seriously. I think ATF has had a pretty prominent role down in D.C., for instance, and I know the folks there know how to put together RICO cases. So that's what I think we have to kind of stay tuned for. Yeah, there's some serious prosecutions taking place already, but I think there's a decent chance that Antifa and its financiers and its arsonists are going to find themselves in a world of hurt with a RICO case instead of just a vandalism case.
And explain how this relates in the instance of the Andrew Jackson statue.
So in the Jackson statue situation, you know, this was not a spontaneous mob moment where they just found a way to knock the statue over. This is a guy who's alleged, Mr. Charter is the defendant that's supposedly the leader of this thing. He was alleged to have purchased acid, to have planned this out, to have created a human chain of people to keep the police at bay. I mean, this was a pretty sophisticated operation. So you take all those little pieces and you try to figure out who else was he communicating with. You know, was he doing something at the bidding of Antifa leadership? And you can really go after the leaders in a pretty comprehensive way. And thankfully, these guys, you know, they try to be really socially available for everybody. Charter was supposedly saying that tearing down statues of traitors is a service, not a crime. Well, he's got a big lesson coming. It is a crime. It's not a service. And it just goes to show, these guys, they talk to each other, they brag, they go up the chain in terms of reporting back to their leaders or their inspirational leaders. And so that's going to be important to kind of track the communication and finance and see if you can build a bigger case.
Jim, a controversial story out of St. Louis. The McCloskeys, Mark and Patricia, were seen waving guns at protesters. Those protesters had entered a gate into a private neighborhood on the way to the mayor's house. There are conflicting reports as to whether they broke the gate down or whether the gate was unlocked. The McCloskeys say they felt threatened. 38 of their neighbors have condemned them. What happens next in court?
Well, I mean, the good news for the McCloskeys is that, you know, we don't do justice by opinion polls, or at least not usually. So, you know, they may be unpopular with their neighbors for a variety of reasons. But really what this case is going to focus around is the idea of what's called the castle doctrine, you know, that every man's home is his castle. And that's basically a common law notion that's now in statutes across the different states about using deadly force or using at least reasonable force to defend your property or yourself. And Missouri has a castle doctrine law. It basically says if you're in fear, reasonably in fear, of imminent threat to your lives, then you can use deadly force. And so that's going to be the real factual issue for them, is whether they were being threatened. They said that there was intrusion on their property. They said that there were people saying, we're coming to get you, and even displaying firearms. And also keep in mind, they didn't shoot. And they may have been walking around with their guns, but, you know, thankfully nobody got shot. So that's really the law enforcement angle to work here, is whether or not they were reasonable in saying that they were in fear for their lives. And I think that what I've seen so far on the media, Mr. McCloskey actually presents a pretty good case for it.
So, Jim, we'll probably see this play out in court. A little background on the DA would be of interest.
Well, that's probably one of the more concerning parts of the story to me. Kimberly Gardner is the local DA there, and she's gone on record saying she's going to bring the full weight of Missouri law against the McCloskeys. And, again, I'm not a fan of, you know, having people talk outside of court about what they're going to do or what they're not going to do as prosecutors. She is a George Soros-funded progressive prosecutor, and there are reports that she's had a 100% turnover in her office since her arrival a short time ago. So those are real red flags. I mean, if you have 100% turnover in a big office, there's undeniably a brain drain. There's no way you're going to be able to replace the institutional experience of every single person. She fights with the police. She's, you know, being told or being described as somebody who is unwilling to prosecute cases, but for some reason she's real fired up about bringing the full weight against these guys. So that's a concern to me, that you have these progressive prosecutors that have, you know, taken some good reforms and then go much further, and they're beholden to George Soros of all people. So I'll have to keep an eye on whether she is a political prosecutor or a real prosecutor.
Jim, big story this week, the arrest of Ghislaine Maxwell. Many have called her the facilitator of many of the crimes that Jeffrey Epstein committed against minors. And what stands out to you about the arrest?
Well, a couple of things. I mean, look, the number one thing if you represent Ms. Maxwell right now is to keep her safe, because she obviously is in a position where she knows an awful lot of dirt about some very high-profile people. And so, again, you know, hopefully she doesn't have some sort of mysterious accident or suicide or anything else that befalls her. But it's interesting to kind of watch it from the attorney's perspective, because the first thing is, you would think that, number one, she'd probably stay out of the United States, because she's certainly an international player and didn't have to be in the U.S. Number two, you'd think there would be some pre-indictment conversations between her lawyers and the government. And so what I deduce from the fact that she was arrested is that whatever conversations they've had were not fruitful. She's not lined up as a cooperator right now, or she would have just done this under seal. She probably would have self-surrendered, and she would have had proceedings under seal. We don't have that at all. So for the moment, and I say moment, she doesn't appear to be cooperating.
So I would think one strategy in a case like this would be that maybe she starts talking and hopes to get a more lenient sentence if she opens up and implicates other people. However, one of the charges is perjury. So what does that mean in terms of her credibility?
Well, it means she's got a real issue. I mean, and that's the rub here, is you've got a person who's got a ton of exposure, right now about 35 years worth of potential exposure. She's got information that she can trade for the government to at least reduce that sentence. But, you know, you have to assess cooperators when you're a prosecutor as to whether they're a bridge too far. And there are times where prosecutors will look at somebody involved in sex offenses or child pornography and say, you know, this guy is just not worth the juice. He's going to be too much of a problem in front of a jury. They're going to hate him. That gets aggravated when you've got perjury in the mix as well. So there's a lot that's very uphill about using her as a witness, because she was involved in pretty horrific conduct, because she perjured herself, because she was basically the right hand of Epstein and all of this. But I would also say, if you've got live victims, which we do have in this case, and we have a lot of records and perhaps photos and videos, you know, essentially trophies for Epstein, there's a real good chance that the prosecution could look at her as basically a supplemental witness, worth giving her a little bit of assistance to help walk a jury through some of this evidence. But she's not the whole case. She's a corroborator, not the star witness. And I think that's a possibility here, that they'll reach that conclusion if she comes in and really provides the information in a way that they think is truthful.
To be continued in the weeks ahead. Jim Trusty at IFRA Law here in Washington. Jim, have a wonderful 4th of July, and thank you very much.
All right, you too. Thanks, Rick.
7 o'clock news is next on WMAL. Then we'll have John Gizzi. We'll talk to Dr. Bob Lahita, Lieutenant Colonel Tony Schaefer, and KT McFarland, all on the way.
This July 4th, join us for a special 40th anniversary presentation of A Capital 4th with your hosts John Stamos and Vanessa Williams, and performances from coast to coast featuring Patti LaBelle, John Fogerty, The Temptations, Andy Grammer, Yolanda Adams, Renee Fleming, Trace Atkins, Brian Stokes Mitchell, Chrissy Metz, Mandy Gonzalez. It's the 40th anniversary of A Capital 4th. Saturday, July 4th, 8, 7 Central, only on PBS. Sponsored by The Boeing Company and American Airlines.
WMAL-FM, Woodbridge, Washington. Now, more than ever, depend on 105.9 FM WMAL, a Cumulus station.